This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN on a Tuesday, a balmy Tuesday evening on the East Coast. We'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Wait, what's that poster? Rabbi Khan? What is that?
And I'd also like to say good evening to Michael.
But I'm a bad teammate. Both of you take a walk. We'll be back. No music out.
And good evening to Don.
Kyrie,
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
I missed last one standing. We got to do that again. It's a good time.
2 days in a row.
Hey, guys. We're going to start off with something a little non-traditional.
Why?
Interesting.
Because yesterday on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio, in case you want to give me a good old follow, go ahead, give it a follow. I got a... Andres sent me something he thought would be perfect for Michael. Don, it's called the Picky Eater Test.
Okay.
Okay? So I want to play a quick game with you guys, if you don't mind. Don, you don't mind a quick game, do you?
I love it.
So do you each have a pen?
Oh, sure.
Michael?
Yep.
All right, so you know how you count five, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4 slash through it?
Okay.
You'll probably want to do it that way to move this quickly.
Okay.
I'm going to name the food. If you don't eat it, it's a point.
Okay.
Never had fish, never had an egg.
Love it.
Right. So I'm going to start right now. There's a lot of them. Just mark them down, the ones you do not eat.
Mm-hmm.
Blue cheese. Canned tuna. Chicken. Coffee, cooked fish, crab, grapes, ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, Nutella, oysters, peanut butter, ranch dressing, raw fish, shrimp, escargot, in other words, snails, sourdough bread, soy sauce, tea, vinegar, carrots, tomatoes, cucumbers, eggs, cabbage, cauliflower, asparagus, beef.
Wait, what was that last one?
Beef.
It was beef.
Okay.
Yep. Turkey. We're about halfway through. Pork. Liver. Brussels sprouts. Dark chocolate. Garlic. Lettuce. Broccoli. Zucchini. Coconut. Onions, white chocolate, tofu, avocado, oranges, grapefruit, raisins, strawberries, apples, wheat bread, celery, mushrooms, eggplant, beets, watermelon, cottage cheese, pickles, peas, pineapple, bananas, milk, olives, yogurt, and beans. Don, what is the total number you have for things you do not eat on that list?
19.
Wow. 19. And Michael?
38.
You know what mine is? Mine's like
probably
2.
Like 2.
Yeah. I don't do olives.
Okay.
And I don't do escargot. Do everything else on the whole list.
Well,
Don,
I don't. I can't go over all 19, but
no.
I don't do. I don't do raw fish.
Mm. No sushi at all for you.
No sushi at all for me.
Wow.
Interesting. And there's a couple of things. Oh, there was another one. Yeah, but there were. I don't think any of them were outrageous.
So what does 38 put me on the list?
Well, I don't know. It looks like, I'm trying to see how many there are total. It looks like there were like 60 total around there. So I just want other, if other people were playing at home, I'm curious to where they would score on this.
I don't eat beets.
Never?
Wait, was that beets or beef?
There were both. I did beef and beets.
Okay.
I don't like beets with a T, raw fish, dark chocolate. I'm not a fan of.
Love dark chocolate.
Don, Michael, you do or don't?
Love it. It's very healthy for you.
There you go. Now, speaking of health, there's a lot going on in Major League Baseball right now. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, was on MLB Network. And he was asked, would you call this a nightmare scenario?
I don't put this in the nightmare category. I mean, obviously, we don't want any player to get exposed. It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play. That's why we have the expanded rosters. That's why we have the pool of additional players. And we think we can keep people safe and continue to play.
He was asked if he's confident in MLB's protocols.
We talked about the situation. I think most of the owners realize that we built protocols anticipating that we would have positive tests at some point during the season, that the protocols were built in order to allow us to continue to play through those positives. And I think there was support for the notion that we believe that the protocols are adequate to keep our players safe.
But it's not true. The protocols haven't worked because it did happen. And you keep talking about, well, that's why we expanded the rosters. The expanding of the roster didn't work in the Marlins situation. They don't have enough players.
Well, they have enough. They don't have enough good players. I mean, because it's such a bad team.
I know.
But they have 30 players that they could plug in for the 17.
They did not have anything in place with as many as 14 players testing positive.
They do. They do. They have 30 players that they could choose from. It's just that the Marlins are a bad team, and their alternate site players are probably not ready. But they do have it in place.
That's still a lot. Right? But you could talk about how, well, first of all, the protocols, nobody's following them. You just had 14 guys test positive. They're scrambling to get players. They're still going to have to be on hold for the next few days. So don't make it seem like it's been seamless.
Not because they don't have players to fill in, but they don't want them to fill in into a team that's got more positives on it. They're waiting to see how many more positives they're going to get.
And I agree with him, it's not a nightmare scenario, but he made it seem like they're making a seamless transition through that. No, they haven't. This is a major problem that I don't think they really foresaw, that there would be this many guys testing positive this quickly on the same team to where this many games have had to been postponed, that you've got guys like McCutchen tweeting out, can somebody tell me the game's been postponed? I'm finding out from the media, nobody's told me. Up until like 3 o'clock today, the MLB app still had the Yankees game at 6:05 today against the Phillies. So, listen, I'm not going to kill them. But don't make it seem like they're making a seamless transition here. They got completely caught with their pants down. At least admit that.
I also think it falls under the heading of nightmare because it's three games in.
Right.
If this happened like a month from now, you go, yeah, okay, the world's in pretty bad shape. But three games in, to me, is nightmarish.
Didn't Joe Girardi have a statement about something like this?
What?
Didn't Joe Girardi once have a statement about things like this?
It's not what you want.
That's right.
But he's got a little bit of Kevin Bacon in Animal House. Like, you know, all is well, and people are running over him. Don't make it seem like, oh, they envision this and they're ready. No, they weren't ready.
He was also asked, would the ball better route?
I think the decision that we made with respect to the bubble was the right one. We're different than other sports. We would have had to have multiple locations probably just in order to have enough facilities to make it work. The numbers of people involved and the numbers of people to support the number of players was much, much larger in our sport. The duration would have been much longer. And the longer you go, the more people you have, the less likely it is that you can make the bubble work. You know, I think the NBA and the NHL have an advantage, smaller numbers of players, shorter period of time, and I understand why they did what they did. I'm just not sure it was workable for us.
No, they didn't try, though. So don't give me that garbage.
Well, he said he's not sure it was workable.
Because they spent
He was running up against players that didn't want to do it, Don. It's not like finishing off a season. They had to get a whole full season in.
But let's face it, Michael, they spent a lot of time arguing over the CBA when maybe they could have put something in place that would have made it work. I mean, it's hard, but you know what? It's hard being a commissioner. You could be the president of the United States, and for 4 years nothing happens, and it's okay. But the idea is that if something catastrophic happens, that you have the leadership to handle it. And the NBA and the NHL, when this first started, we were trying to envision how all this was going to work. And looking at what the NBA and the NHL has done, they've done a spectacular job. You know why? Because from the get-go, they were able to work on it. And don't give me the whole, well, the CBA stuff. Nobody's had more problems with CBAs than Gary Bettman. He's had 3 work stoppages in his tenure. Basically, effective 2 cancellations of seasons. He's dealing with Donald Fehr, right? One of the toughest guys to get along with in the negotiations. They're singing Kumbaya from the very beginning and putting together not only a bubble in 2 different places to finish their season, but actually extended the CBA. So it can be done. If you have leadership and you have cooperation and trust, a lot can be accomplished. None of that Major League Baseball had. None. No leadership, no trust. And that's what you get. Putting together a stupid 60-game schedule because that's all you're able to do because you spent months crying over money. And that's a fact.
Let's hear from the Nationals, Davey Martinez. Of course, the Nationals voted supposedly today as a team that they were not interested in going to Miami to play the Marlins. As it turns out now, the Marlins won't be playing until next week anyway. But let's hear from Davey Martinez.
One, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm scared. I mean, I really am, you know. So I go from here, home, back here every day. That's all I do. I wash my hands. I went from 47 times a day to probably 99 times a day. Wear my mask everywhere I go. So, I mean, but, you know, there's always, you know, there's that concern, you know. You don't know, you know, right now you don't know if, you know, because of my heart condition, what happens, you know, to me if I do get it. So I got to be extra careful. With that being said, sometimes I tend to put myself aside and worry about other people more than me. I think that's why I'm here, because I worry about those guys before I put myself first.
So there you have it.
I know it's a career. But if you really have an underlying condition like that, why even push it? Again, it's his job. I get it. He's a leader of men. But does he really want to get it? NFL players are being smart by opting out. They really are. And I think you're going to see more baseball players opt out. There are a lot of guys that are uneasy. They really are.
There's a lot of – go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say, but no, you finish. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to move on to the NFL opt-outs. Oh.
Well, before you do that, I don't know if you saw this Andrew Filippone tweet, Michael.
No.
Andrew is someone that talk show host in Pittsburgh, 937 The Fan. He tweeted that Bob Nightingale tells him, the station, that he's heard the Marlins outbreak started because Miami players left their hotel to go out and have a good time in Atlanta.
Well, there you have it.
And if that's the case, then I from a leadership standpoint, if I'm the Players Association, I find out who those players are, you're out of the union. Done. And don't tell
they
me
they didn't
it can't
do that
be done.
To people that did steroids. Come on.
Hey, what are we doing here? They were able to do it when the guys that walked the picket line wouldn't let them join the union. I mean, it's not unprecedented. When they want to accomplish something, they accomplish it, don't they? The PEDs they couldn't do because they didn't know who the guys were doing it and who wasn't doing it. But in this situation, think about the irresponsibility here. You almost brought down an entire sport out of the union. If I'm Rob Manfred, I am trying to make sure that they don't play the rest of the season, and get the cooperation from the Players Association. Make an example of these guys. What are you going to tell these guys? Oh, you're bad. They'll do it again.
I'll tell you what, Peter. Maybe you know better than me. I've never really had a blast in Atlanta, but it seems like people get into a lot of trouble in Atlanta.
A lot of good fun times in Atlanta.
See, one of the things is I've never been somebody who goes to gentlemen's clubs. It's like a hungry man going to Sizzler. I just don't get it. So
you're not being a hungry man going to Sizzler when you can't eat.
The nudes are back.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So a hungry man that can't eat is going to walk past that delicious Sizzler platter. So I've never, ever understood it. It's wasted money. You're setting fire to money. But Lou Williams had to go. So according to Nightingale, these I'm not saying Gentlemen's Club, but they had to go out and have a good time in Atlanta. They're kids because they don't have the expectations of being champions. So they're just kids that want to have a great time. But they want to live the American big league dream.
But I just don't understand how Rob Manfred can't call up Tony Clark and say, listen, we can't do anything to the Marlins because we didn't have a rule in place when they made that decision to go out in Atlanta. But let's come together, and anybody else that does the same thing is out for the year. Done. And subject to a hearing whether they'll be allowed to play next year.
But I have heard that as part of the protocol, it is strongly suggested that you don't leave your hotel.
All right. Well, strongly. What does strongly suggested mean?
Yeah.
Means
because you're
allowed.
If you're a responsible adult, you shouldn't do it. If I was traveling with the Yankees broadcasting games, I would never leave the hotel. Because I'm smart. I wouldn't leave the hotel.
All right. Well,
the fun will be there next year.
But why not just go with the full-blown rule then?
Yeah, exactly.
Because maybe the players don't want that.
Well, if you have leadership, Tony Clark convinces the players, guys, you obviously opted in because you want to play. And some of you, because of the expanded postseason, have an outstanding chance to win a championship. Do you want it to be derailed because a few yahoos decide to go out and play? Then let's agree that if any of those guys do that, they're going to be severely disciplined because we tried the trust game and look how it worked out. I mean, come on, this is life. Hey, like I said, I think I can responsibly drive 80 miles per hour on the highway. I think I'm a really good driver. I think that I would be responsible. I think I would be safe. I don't think I'd get into an accident. But I'm still not allowed to. You know why? Because the overwhelming majority of people couldn't do it. Oh, why don't you just legalize cocaine, Michael? Because there's a lot of people that can recreationally take cocaine and be okay. This whole idea that, it won't happen to me. You have rules in place. Adam, get show some leadership. Shouldn't be allowed. They almost broke that entire sport.
And you know, you have 17 guys. That doesn't mean all 17 guys went out. It could mean two guys went out. Then you're on a plane, a little piece of tin hurtling through the sky with recycled air, and that could have infected everybody. It takes one or two people. It doesn't have to be 17 people. There are two coaches that also got infected.
Or the poor attendant for the away locker room in Philadelphia, right? I don't know how old he is. I don't know if this guy's got underlying symptoms. What if he has it and dies? Can I charge those guys with manslaughter?
It's very problematic. And again, remember, we have not seen the results of the players who played against the Marlins. So right, so far, the Phillies are testing negative. Like you said, Don, their visiting locker room attendant sadly tested positive. The team so far has tested negative. But now take that idea and apply it to what we've learned about Juan Soto of the Nationals today. Juan Soto has 6 negative tests, but none are back-to-back. And as a result, he can't return. And for that reason, guys, we can't be sure that those Phillies' negative tests are going to stay negative.
And the same thing happened with DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees. He kept getting negative tests, but they weren't 2 in a row. I mean, that's a cause for concern, too. How accurate are the tests?
So are we going to wake up tomorrow and find out that the Phillies now have 10 guys? But even if they don't, does that make it a fact that it's not transmittable in the air during a game or because of baseball it doesn't happen? Or, whoa, we just got lucky.
Right.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Well, Dante Hightower is not taking that risk. The 30-year-old New England Patriot, Mike linebacker, by the way, became a father on July 16th. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion, captain, calls the signals, as I just said, and he's out. It's his contract year. However, it will now roll over to the next season. He's one of six Patriots, including three starters, among them Patrick Chung, who are all out for the Pats. And the list grows from there. I just saw Packers wide receiver Devin Funches is out. Ravens have a couple of players out. Bills, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, Seahawks, Titans, Vikings, Patriots, Caleb Brantley in Washington, the Panthers, Bears, all at least. Broncos, Saints, Jets, Eagles, Marquise Goodwin, the wide receiver for the Eagles, out as well. So things are picking up, guys. And, of course, they just reported this week, and testing is underway. Right now, there have been 21 total positives in the NFL since players began reporting for training camps. And during the offseason, there were 107 total positives in the NFL. So we are just now getting to the NFL and getting a look at how things are going to be.
Let me ask you this. We have a similar outbreak on an NFL team that we have with the Marlins. And we find out that they played a football game. Are you going to be as confident that the other team doesn't get it the way you do in baseball?
Absolutely not.
No way.
Same thing with basketball. Same thing with hockey. Baseball, of the team sports, is the most socially distant sport. So there's a chance that the Phillies didn't get infected. But you tell me how you play a football game against a team that had an outbreak, that didn't know they had an outbreak, and the other team doesn't catch it. I mean, there's snot flying.
I know.
There's heavy breathing, all of that stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're on top of each other.
And all right, so the same type of question, the same scenario. There's an outbreak. What do you do with the team? Because it's not as easy to postpone a football game as it is a hockey game or a basketball game
or a
baseball game.
Might just have to be a loss. I was actually thinking
ahead,
that let's say the Marlins had to completely shut their season down. What would you do in the? I mean, it looks like they wouldn't, like the teams in the National League East just wouldn't play them, and then you'd go by winning percentage. But I thought, right, what would be a fair way to do it? Would it be fair to say everybody went 7-3 against them? Everyone in 5-5. Everyone 6-4. Because some seasons go, well, I wouldn't go 7-3 against the Marlins. I'd go 9-1. I guess the best thing is to go by winning percentage.
Or you just give them all a win. Like you play
them
how many
times?
Yeah,
but you're going to give them all 10-0, then it's not fair to the other teams in the other divisions that they're battling wild cards.
Right, but it's also not fair to give them a loss that they might not have had.
Right, so it's best not to just say the game never was played and you go by winning percentage. That's the only fair way to go about it. Right?
Yeah,
because if you give them all 10-0, right, all the other four teams, then the other teams that you're battling, you know, 10-0 is 1/6 of the season. The teams in the Central and the West are going, wait a minute, we're battling for wild cards with these guys.
How many games have they even played? Three?
No, four. I'm just saying that if you shut them down for the rest of the year, they're supposed to play 10 games.
I was asking how many games have they...
Three. Three games against the Phillies.
Yeah, three games against the Phillies and what they...
I think they lost. They won 2 out of 3, I think.
Yeah, well, no, there were no sweeps the entire weekend.
Right.
Yeah, there's nobody undefeated, and there's no winless teams.
Michael, when was the last time that happened, you think?
I don't think it's happened ever. I'm not saying that with certitude, but I would think that in the first week of a season, somebody's going to go undefeated, first weekend.
The shame of this whole thing, on top of just the fear, is that there's some great stories going on, right?
How about tonight? Dodgers against the Astros? Tell me that's not interesting.
I know, it's very interesting. I mean, the Dodgers, you know, they had four games at home against what many people believe is one of the worst teams in the league in San Francisco, went 2-2.
And the baseball's been pretty good.
That was a nice win for the Mets last night, although the bullpen...
Now they're going to start Peterson tonight. It looks like he's going to be the fill-in.
The NFL plans to stencil end racism on end zone borders as part of their social justice rollout for kickoff week. I got to tell you guys, Jason Reed of The Undefeated says that there'll be end racism and there will also be It Takes All of Us on NFL fields. I don't know that I'm prepared to deal with, as Michael, some of your favorite words here, the lip service and eyewash that we're going to get from the NFL this season.
It's
the same league that completely ostracized Colin Kaepernick. And now all of a sudden they found religion that quickly. Well, I guess it wasn't quickly, but talk about a 180. I mean,
and
a complete 180.
And also it's a little bit frustrating because you have the league doing these things, and the reason I really would call it eyewash is, number one, Kaepernick still never got an offer to play anywhere. Number two, how many owners have actually said anything? I mean, the league is ultimately comprised of the owner, right? Goodell is there to represent the owners. He's not the owner of the league.
Yeah, but if for them to do this, they all 32 had to sign off.
Signed off on this.
Yeah.
But I would like to hear more than a statement. You know, it's become so easy for everyone to now just utter the words Black Lives Matter. It's almost like you're shunned if you don't say it. So I don't actually know how people feel anymore because people are now obligated to do that.
So I
kind of need to see more from these owners than a simple statement or stenciling on the field.
It's like, well, we talked about it when social media had that whole, what was the phrase with the black box?
Yeah, Blackout Tuesday.
Blackout Tuesday. It's like, all right, I retweeted Blackout Tuesday. I'm good. I'm not a racist. Look what I did. You know, it just seems like it's so easy now. Like that
I know people, Don. I know people that I follow who don't even post anything about social justice. I mean at all. They've never put up a social justice post. All right? They are completely mum on the issue. People I know who do not talk about these issues.
Right.
In real life particularly, or on social media, they still, to your point, did the Blackout Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't do that, you looked like you were diametrically opposed, which is the same thing with the protocols that the NFL is going to put in place. But really, ultimately, what change is there?
Actions speak louder than words, and you can't make up for how many years of doing nothing in just a year or a couple of days. It's going to take a lot of time, but it's the actions that the league takes. The next time something like a Colin Kaepernick thing happens, obviously it can't be that because they've already figured that out. Now you're going to look like an outlier if you're standing and not kneeling. But the next time something similar, is their reaction going to be any different?
The Eagles have honored Philadelphia native Kobe Bryant with a mural at their practice facility. We saw it in a photo posted by wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey on his Instagram account. One has, there's one of him playing from Lower Merion, his days at Lower Merion, one picture of him on the Lakers, and then one of him in an Eagles uniform. Kobe really loved him some Eagles. That is for sure. That game I saw him at, that Lakers game I went to, he was wearing his Eagles Scully. And there's video of him on YouTube celebrating their Super Bowl win. He was a legit fan. Michael, you'll be excited about this. Khabib is back. Khabib Nurmagomedov against Justin Gaethje, October 24th for the UFC lightweight belt.
Is that from the island?
I thought they were done with Fight Island.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason, let me see here.
That guy scares me, though.
Khabib?
I can't pronounce his last name, no matter how I try.
Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, no.
But that's not how, that is definitely not how Ariel says it when he calls the show. He says Nurmagomedov. It's Nurmagomedov. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I'd rather not have Ariel on the show to tell me how to do it. Yeah. He's getting too cocky when he comes on.
I like.
No venue has been announced yet.
You like him?
Yeah.
Khabib? He's phenomenal.
No, not Khabib.
No, I like Ariel a lot.
Do you like him better than Jeff Van Gundy?
I'd rather not answer.
You like him better than Steve Young?
I don't know either man personally, but I enjoy them equally. I'll go with Jeff because I just know him better because we've interviewed him more often, and I'm a little bit more interested in basketball than boxing or UFC, but they're both gems.
I don't want to do this because Ariel, frankly, you know, he never has me on his show. Okay, he does nothing for me, and I love the guy. I think he's right near the top of the list of guests we have right now.
I think you're out of your mind.
I'll tell you, it's a lot more fluid than I thought. I mean, I got to give Peter credit. I had Steve Young, and I never really thought much about it, but Steve Young has been thoroughly challenged.
Passing.
Nobody better than Young. Young, passing. Wingo's a great guest. I think Tex is a great guest because he's very honest, unlike most ex-players who, like, dance around things.
That is true. He texts does not try to make friends when he calls the show to give his takes. That's for sure.
He just wants to give you his take.
Passing's closing in, man. I mean, if I'm Steve Young, I need to have a good draft. I got to start improving because passing's going to blow by.
Steve Young loves us, right?
Yes.
If we called him tomorrow and said, "Listen, we're not going to use you this football season," he'd be celebratory. You think he needs that? He's preparing to go on Monday night. He does.
I think we drive him crazy.
Yeah.
Which is why he comes to town and doesn't visit us.
Well,
now he has a reason.
You see, that's the reason why Passan is going to pass him, because Passan does care. And he will put the necessary work in to not only make up the gap, but eventually become number one.
See, but I'm going to tell you something, okay? So I've been seeing a lot of Passan on the air. He brings it every single time he's on the air, whoever he's on the air with, whatever sports center. Steve Young, sometimes I see him on TV, he's not nearly as good as he is with us. So I think Passan just has a desire to just hit a grand slam every time he's on the air. So don't think it's just you, Don.
Whereas you think Steve's special for us.
Yes. Steve goes into his bag of tricks that he doesn't necessarily go on to on Monday Night Countdown.
Well, and I give us credit for that.
Of course you do, because you have a huge ego.
I said us. Didn't I say us, Peter?
You did. Patrick Mahomes bought a piece of the Kansas City Royals.
Love it.
Partial ownership. They said it only cost $56, too, to buy in on that team. Can you believe that?
Thomas didn't ask how much of a piece.
Thank you. I don't know how much of a piece. I don't have the actual numbers here. But he is a part owner.
That's a great
look. He's going to own that town.
Somebody said on Twitter, well, he's a young, I think it was Ian Rappaport, he's the youngest owner of a professional team, and he was quickly corrected. Serena Williams' two-year-old daughter owns the soccer team in L.A., so she's the youngest owner.
She's, by the way, she's doing a tremendous job with that team.
She's very savvy.
She's...
I can imagine some of the board meetings, though, when they got to put things to a vote, just trying to get her to understand.
No, I've actually heard quite the opposite. She can be a little too demanding. And she's one of those meddling owners, you know? Sometimes they just want to have a season and not have her show up with a rattle and start screaming and making noise, right, throwing food.
Yeah, she's screaming. She wants it to be, you know, Peppa Pig night.
And they're like, we cannot do Peppa Pig night again.
Again.
She's like, no,
I demand. And then she throws a tantrum. A lot of owners don't throw tantrums. But if
some
you're
do.
Two, you're allowed.
I'm sure Dan Snyder threw a few in his day.
Nah, he wouldn't take my cookies.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.